Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, January 25th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the doctor's opinion on page XXX, the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, "Then there are types," ending with, "Intelligent, friendly people." We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Polly Q reading the text, Sherry D reading page 164, and Hillary B is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Sherry M, and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, January 24th, 2024, is 21,070 or 21070. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,072 or 21072. Oh, a preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Mary Frances W. from rainy Westchester, Pennsylvania, and here are the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to serve, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Frances W., and I will now ask Robin B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Stephanie L. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service board committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Robin B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the doctor's opinion. We are on page XXX, reading the fourth full paragraph that begins with, then there are types, ending with intelligent, friendly people. We are reading and commenting on just one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Polly Q to please begin reading.
Thank you for your service. This is Polly Q in Northern California, recovered. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Polly.
Thank you. Then there are types entirely normal in every respect, except in the effect alcohol has upon them. They are often able, intelligent, friendly people. I've been in the rooms of OA for, 22 years now. And I would venture to say that everybody I met was an intelligent, able, friendly person. There were people that I have seen along the way whose disease has progressed to the point where they have a lot of physical ailments. And I know that my own journey in this program was one of desperation. You know, I wouldn't have even come in. I was a member of another 12-step program, Al-Anon, and I thought, gosh, you know, after working the fourth step, if it worked for them, then it will, if it worked for me with the family disease of alcoholism, then maybe it will work for me with this food addiction that I've had my entire life, my whole life. And and the allergy of the body was probably I was in meetings for a bazillion years before I came to the vision meeting, and nobody ever read the doctor's opinion. No one. I had read it once, just as a member of Al-Anon, but no one had ever read it. So we were kind of in the same situation, or I was kind of in the same situation that Dr. Bob was in, was that, hey, man, I try and I try and I try, and nothing works. So, and I was giving up. Being a member of OA at year 17, I was just, you know, I was just white-knuckling it, and finally I just had to say, hey, I've broken my abstinence. There is no abstinence here. And that was so demoralizing for me because this is the end of the road. This is the last house on the block, Overeaters Anonymous is. And so for me, I was intelligent and able and a friendly person. You wouldn't have met me and thought, what a nut job. I mean, you know, you met me on a certain day when I was irritable, restless, and unreasonable. You might not have liked me. But other than that, I'm just like all of you. You know, I was very capable. And I think that's our downfall, to be honest. I think we don't suffer as much. You know, the doctor is dealing with addicts who are dying. And, but our my death was slower. And I knew that, I mean, I suffer from ailments now, even recovered and having lost the weight. I have an ankle that's swollen, and I love hiking. It's my cathedral, and I don't want to give it up, but I got to tell you, I have an ankle that's swollen because I sprained it with all that weight coming down on it years before. We're getting older, and so it's more difficult. So for me, I have to remember that I'm an addict of the Hopeless Remedy. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Polly Q. And we are now going to open the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your shares to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible. We have lots of people on the meeting this morning. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. When you hear the timer, please finish up so we can give others a chance to share too. So if you could please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, and we'll get the first lineup. Who would like to share? Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Gloria H.
I gotcha, Gloria H.
I didn't know if you did or not.
I gotcha, I heard you. Thanks. Anyone else want to get in?
Andy.
Gotcha, Anne.
Lee F.
I've got you, Lee F. All right, well, we'll start there. If you could please let us know where you're calling from. And I've got Gloria H, Ann B, Lee F. We'll start with Gloria H, followed by Ann B. You're up, Gloria.
Hi, good morning, good morning. Gloria H. I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina, compulsive overeater. Just, you know, getting acclimated to this side of the fellowship program. I was in OA in 78, and we did read Dr. Silkworks. And we did read the whole book, you know, like every week, every other week, or once a month, or something like that. But I know that we read the whole book. I have my book is falling apart. I just looked at this book. I said, it might be about, how old is that? 50 years old? 40 years old? How old is that? Anyway, so when I hear this, I think about the Hallmark clown, the two sides, the smiley face and then the frowny face. You know, if people are that older, they can remember that. But because, you know, they're functioning alcoholics, you know, and if you don't know the signs of an alcoholic, you won't recognize them because, for me, a food addict that I am, I was always so gregarious, you know, always laughing, talking, always had a joke going on and stuff like that. But, you know, the other part of me was the, I think, the mean-spirited part of me that I was always, picking on someone, you know, and always criticizing, the three C's, criticizing, condemning, and complaining, you know. So that was me, you know. And I know that today I want to be more aware of that, of not falling into that trap, you know, staying out of other people's business, not taking notice of other things. You know, but however, you know, that's the fourth step in, you know, not knowing my character defects. But yes, you know, it's hard to decipher because right now, you know, my son-in-law, he should be in a beverage program, and he is like Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Hyde. And I see that, you know, even food can make me a Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Hyde, you know. If I have my substance and stuff like that and I'm overeating, you know, oh, yeah. But then, you know, when I have to just face life on life's terms, I'm a different person, and that's the sober mind. The sober mind says things don't always go the way I want them to go. I think I'm using up my 3 minutes. If you know me from Live Means, you know I always want to go the whole 3 minutes, even if the last minutes are ramblings. But so I understand, you know, that everything that's in this book here about how to describe the alcoholic, decide the foolaholic is me, okay, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Gloria H. from North Carolina. Next up, we've got Ann B., followed by VF.
Hi, this is Ann B. from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I am a compulsive overeater, and I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 19 years. in my first 90 days, in this program, I really thought that if I didn't get my trigger foods, I was going to run out into the street screaming, and the neighbors were going to have to call the men in the little white coats to take me away because I felt that crazy. And, you know, I got through using the tools and using the steps, and I don't feel that way. But certainly I came to see that the appearance that I gave of perhaps being normal, not that I was, because I have a mild autism spectrum disorder, but of being reasonably calm or whatever, was dependent on my medicating myself with the food. And when the food was lifted, I found that there was sort of a thin veneer beneath which there were these powerful, crazy emotions that I didn't even know I had, because I was hiding them from myself. And, you know, that's kind of been my experience in program, of others as well. If they're trying to be abstinent and they haven't worked the steps, or they're early on, they really don't seem that sane a lot of times. I've certainly met a lot of people with really severe mental illness, because I used to go to meetings in an area that was near a bunch of group homes for emotionally disturbed women, and you know, a lot. I've had sponsees who lived in those, but yes, I mean, there can be that sort of veneer that people sort of can put on of seeming normal, but it certainly hasn't been my impression has not been that people in this program are really all that normal. Now some, yes, but you know, over the years my impression has been that there's some really severe problems there, and it may be a difference with alcoholism, I don't know. But there was a reason why I was eating, and I guess that means time. And I guess there's a reason other people are eating. I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Anne B. from New York. Next up, we've got Lee F.
Hi, my name is Lee. I'm in New Mexico. And this paragraph, I don't know, it kind of took me back. It took me down a road, my history, you know, when I first came into program, you know, normal, intelligent. I was young. I was in my early 20s. I was in grad school. I had just been married, you know, bright little shiny face, who was the utter lunatic when it came to food. And it just, you know, it exposed me, I guess, to just coming into program to all kinds of people. Fabulous, you know, and it really, I have grown to understand what addiction means and what an addict looks like, which is just everybody. You know, there is no one like, oh, this, you know, because kind, intelligent, seemingly normal people. I mean, it's just people, you know, people ailment. And so I just, you know, but I kind of remember the fear, you know. It took me over a year of driving around with a meeting list in my car before I ever even made it into the doors. Because I was so like, oh my gosh, it's going to be, you know, whatever, these scary people sitting in a circle talking about God. Oh my goodness. You know, it just had a lot of preconceived false notions about program. And here I am almost 30 years later. And it's just, you know, most of my favorite people are in program. And so it's just really, yeah, there's a lot, you know, but we are all people. We're all in this together. I think of, you know, the term, another bozo on the bus. I'm so grateful for that, you know, and I was reading in some of my daily readings this morning about tradition 3, you know, not, you know, anyone who has a desire. It's like, well, here we are. And I still have a desire to stop eating compulsively. It's gotten so much better. And, you know, I've been living in recovery for a very long time. But, you know, I'm still here. I'm still an addict. I'm still, when it comes to food, not rational, you know. So I'm just grateful to listen to the readings and be here and share. It's been a long time since I've shared on a meeting, and I definitely need to do that. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Leah, from New Mexico. And if you're just joining us, let me fill you in on where we're at. We're in the doctor's opinion. We're on page XXX. We read the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, then there are types, ending with, intelligent, friendly people. And we would love to hear you share on that paragraph. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Susan G., Los Angeles.
I've got you, Susan. Thank you.
And Rachel M., the UK.
Rachel from the UK. Gotcha. Good to hear your voice. Anyone else want to get in on this
Elizabeth
next lineup?
A, Michigan.
Was that Elizabeth A?
Yes.
Okay, got ya.
Jordan L, Colorado.
All right, I've got you, Jordan.
Rita Q from the UK.
Rita, gotcha. We got the UK contingent this morning. Awesome. All right, anyone else want to get in on this lineup? All right, I've got
UK.
Susan G.
Margaret D., Georgia.
All right, Barbara, I've got you. Did I hear someone else in there also? Okay, so I've got
Victoria
Susan G.
UK.
All right, we're going to stop there. Victoria, what was your last initial?
F for Freddie.
F for Freddie. UK as well, I think I heard.
Yep.
We're representing. Okay, I've got Susan G., Rachel M., Elizabeth A., Jordan L., Rita Q., Barbara D., Victoria F. We're going to start with Susan G., followed by Rachel M.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie, and everyone else, Team Thursday, for January. So this paragraph is, for me, very small and mighty, and the ones that we've been reading all week, to me, are letting me know that everybody is welcome. And if you are new and haven't read the rest of the book, that's everybody is welcome. This is inclusive, not exclusive. And wherever we come from, we can get well here. So, you know, for me, when I came in and out for those 16 years, and yes, there was the big book around, and LA was very, very big book when it started, and it still is. But I just wasn't ready to surrender, to hand this over, to say that my life was unmanageable. Because again, I wasn't aware of the effect of the alcohol. I heard it, but it wasn't going to be me, because I'm able-bodied, I'm intelligent, I'm friendly, I have a good job, I have all of these things. How come I can't solve this? You know, I didn't know that I had to bring God into this, which I know we're early on into this and we're still in the doctor's opinion. And tomorrow is a fabulous paragraph, which is what is going to tell us that we all have in common. So for me, again, it's how we will escape this common peril together, how we are alike, how we are very, very similar, and always looking for those similarities. And I find this page really, really helpful. And, you know, he said that the classification of alcoholics is a little bit difficult. Well, I never knew what bulimia was until I came here. It wasn't something that I practiced, but I didn't know. And guess what I thought? If you were bulimic, you were instantly very, very skinny. That isn't true. I didn't know that. So I think that, you know, for me, I just have to know that God brought us all here together, and Dr. Silkworth gave us these explanations to know, don't leave before your miracle. Because wherever you come from, whatever you look like, this miracle is available for you. And that's it. Stephanie, thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Susan G. from California, and really from the UK too. We won't lump you in with the UK contingent. We'll take you in California. Next up, we've got Rachel M., followed by Elizabeth A.
Hi, my name's Rachel M. from the UK. I actually relate to this paragraph probably the least out of the previous classifications, to be honest. I am intelligent. I can be friendly, but entirely normal in every respect. No, that just hasn't been my experience. I am in this fellowship, but I'm also in another fellowship, so I can show up abnormally in different areas, like not just with food. And yeah, as for being able, like I do have a job. I know from experience, though, that when I am in the food, it becomes increasingly difficult for me to hold down a job. In the past in relapse, I have gone for periods where I've been signed off work because I haven't been able to, like, hold down a job in that condition. But, yeah, I remember reading something that with addicts, when they pick up their substance, you know, especially if it's from a young age, their emotional maturity becomes stunted. And I think that's definitely been like my case. You know, I started compulsive overeating in childhood, and because I've had years, you know, and spent most of my adult life so far in the disease, I believe it has stunted me emotionally. So I may be walking around in an adult body, but on an emotional level, like emotional maturity wise, I can still very much feel like a child, like most of the time. So I'm in the right place because this program will help me to grow up like I never grew up. I think that maybe this is a blessing because I think this helps me to accept the second part of step one about my life being unmanageable a lot easier. You know, my disease can't come in there and say, oh, well, look, you know, you have this, you have that. And it, like, no, you know, my disease doesn't really have much ammunition there because, yeah, my experience is, you know, my life is all manageable and is very unmanageable still, you know, without this program, without a higher power, like running and managing my day. So I will leave that there. And thank you for letting me share. And thank you, Stephanie, for your service and for everybody's shares and for the meeting. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel M. from the UK. Next, we have Elizabeth A., followed by Jordan L.
Hi, this is Elizabeth A. from Michigan. I'm currently in Florida, and I'm grateful to be here today. This classification of the alcoholic, for me, the compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic, D, all the above, has been awesome because I just feel like I'm all of them. Like, multiple choice, yeah, D. Because I can be a psychopath. I can be very friendly, able-bodied, outgoing. And when I came into program in 1986, I knew there was something deeply, deeply wrong with me. And my food addiction had progressed to a very dangerous spot. I had called a hospital for eating disorders, but they said, you don't have insurance, we can't help you. And miraculously, a friend of mine brought me into Overeaters Anonymous, and I've stayed. And the thing for me has been that I put on that I was able-bodied, competent, you know, outgoing. And there is a part that is, but I didn't want you all to know how crazy I was and the things I did with food and the embarrassment. And I had a job and I would go to the kitchen area after everyone left and just devour quantities of stuff and then come out with a little cup of coffee and a couple of desserts on a plate. And I wanted you to think I was normal. And I think there was a part of me that was afraid. No, I know there was a part of me that was afraid to look at how insane I had become with food and my emotions. And I absolutely had to continue developing that relationship with the Lord, with the God of my understanding, and His loving presence to look at sanity. Because it was very painful for me. I grew up in a very driven family. High achievers, and that was the expectation. And just to put that out there and then have to peel away the layers of mask and denial. And today it's very humbling. And I, you know, I did something yesterday that I wasn't proud of. I made my amends last night, and you know, it's like, oh, I'm a human being, not a human doing. And I have a God that loves me. And a program that helps me to accept all those classifications. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth A. from Michigan. Next up is Jordan L., followed by Rita Q.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Can you hear me okay? I'm driving, so...
Yeah, we can hear you. Thanks.
Okay, awesome. My name's Jordan. I'm Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and Abstinent this morning. I don't like these paragraphs. I'll be real honest. These paragraphs make me a little bit crazy. And I was just kind of thinking about it, right? Like, this is a doctor's opinion. This guy's a doctor. He does this for a living. And classification is probably, classification's important to someone who is, like, doing this for a living, right? Like, I'm not a doctor. I'm a hospitality sales manager, right? But I classify the leads that I get. And it's important to have like a process and a system for doing that because I'm making a living here. I got to have like an unbiased approach to how I classify these categories for making a living, right? I don't think that it's very good for us to classify ourselves. I'm going to be real honest about that one. Because, like I said, I'm an addict, and these paragraphs make me a little crazy when I try to, like, classify myself into them. So I think that they're just here for legitimacy, you know? Like, this guy was a doctor. Classification's important to doctors when they're making a living, and that's kind of, like, why they're there. And I think... if I want to classify anything, I think the paragraphs in There is a Solution about the moderate drinker, the hard drinker, and the real compulsive overeater, or the moderate eater, hard eater, and real compulsive overeater, I think those are, like, much better for classification purposes. But I don't know. I was just thinking that. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Well, thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. Next up, we've got Rita Q., followed by Barbara D.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. Thanks to Team Thursday. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Perfect, Stephanie. Thanks a million. My name's Rita Q., recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. I'm sorry, I'm in the car in the middle of Scotland. So, you know, I love this paragraph, actually, because, like, I was normal in every respect in the sense that I had a good job, good marriage, everything looked perfect on the outside. I was wearing my disease, though. I'd known almost 400 pounds at one point, but the problem was I was completely abnormal when it came to my emotions. So when I touched my alcoholic food, I'd be walking along the street and I'd be fine, and I'd ingest something, one of my alcoholic foods, everything lights up like Vegas, everything, including my emotions. And I'm sat there getting angry, you know, drinking poison, expecting everybody else to die, scared of my own shadow, not really knowing how to express myself. My emotional sobriety goes back to zero because I don't even know who or what I am, because the food is such a control on me. My alcoholic foods and the power it had over me, it was all I could think of. And nobody got the soul me. They did not get the soul me. They didn't get the normal and they didn't get the real me, not the person God wanted me to be. What they got was some heightened version of insanity. And what was going on in my head was even worse than what I was actually articulating, you know? And I'm sat here, my husband's beside me in the car, and I'm just thinking, he got it worse probably than anybody, but I just was possessed. That's the only way to describe it. When I was in the food, I was possessed. My emotions were possessed. I couldn't see what the food was doing, you know, to me. I only saw what it did for me, and it quietened that. But as it quietened the craziness inside, the white noise got louder and louder. That insanity of, you know, your crap just ate over it, you'll be okay. Your crap just ate over it. And that continued and continued until I started doing the steps and until I found the big book. The people are new on the line. There is hope. As a girl who thought nothing, who thought constantly about suicide and taking her own life, there is hope. Today, we're driving in the middle of nowhere. It's pouring down rain and I'm smiling and it's wonderful. You know, life is a joy now. It's a joy to live. Don't get up every day singing and dancing and doing river dance. That's not my style. But I'm just really glad to be alive today in this moment. And I thank you all for being on the line because I could not do it without you. This is a wee fellowship. Call me anytime. My number's on the directory and with that I'll pass. Thanks, Stephanie, again.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Rita Q from the UK. Next up, Barbara D, followed by Victoria F.
Would that be Margaret D. from Georgia that you...
Yes, I'm so sorry, Margaret.
No, please. You know, I'm thinking about taking Barbara as a middle name anyway, so...
Everybody. Right, you're up, friend.
Good morning. My name is Margaret D. I'm in Georgia. And I'm so grateful to my higher power. It's only through God's love, protection, and mercy that I'm even standing here in my kitchen today. So the thing that I can identify with, and it's one reason why I really enjoy going over the big book over and over and over again, because actually more absolutely is revealed. And when I first started back in, I guess it was about 87 or whatever, I'm very much reminded of the paragraph later on in the big book where it says, you know, that the alcoholic wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but deep down inside knows that that's not true and that makes him crazy. And trying to hide that, those differences, for me, it was like, who's going to show up tomorrow morning? Is it going to be the psychopath? Is it going to be the person who admits that they're a compulsive eater and that I can't eat sugar or whatever it is? I recognize myself in all these descriptions, and that could also happen within a 24-hour period. So it's easy to see how, if I am a compulsive eater, definitely I'm going to be crazy, and how food is very much going to seem like the answer so that I get some kind of peace and serenity in my life. And in the beginning, when I was a kid, it did work. I could eat something, you know, different things, sweet things or doughy things, salty things, and it did make me feel better. But fast forward, you know, 50 years or so, and because the disease that I experienced definitely is progressive, absolutely progressive, I've got, in retrospect, I've been able to look back and go, yep, you know, I didn't fix it, but that was pretty emotionally unstable back when you were married. And, you know, here's a period when I first got into program where I thought that if I didn't have something for maybe 6 weeks or 2 months, I could try it. Maybe it had changed. Maybe I could actually eat whatever that particular thing was. And then the another thing I can identify in these whole paragraphs. Uh-oh, there we go. So I'm going to pass with this last thought. There have been times when I have been able, intelligent, and friendly. But the other times, the other experiences always swing back around if I'm not in a fit spiritual condition. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. from Georgia. Next up, we've got Victoria F.
Hi, good morning to you. This is Victoria F. in the UK. This is a very tiny paragraph, and yet it packs one hell of a punch. Types entirely normal in every respect. I tried to be normal in every respect. Inside, I was a seething cauldron. I was frightened of everything. I was frightened of everybody. I had a good job, and I used to go around smiling and being friendly with people. But inside, I was dying. I was absolutely dying. I worked in a hospital, and I used to go down into the dining room and buy two lunches, and I'd be smiling at the checkout person, and I'd be saying, oh, only one of these is for me, I'm taking this for somebody else. Snuck up to my office and devoured the lot. That was absolute madness. I wanted to be liked, I wanted to be loved by people, and I didn't know how to go about that. I didn't feel that I was loved or liked. So my insides were just an absolute mess. It ended up with having bariatric surgery back in 2002. And I thought that was going to be the be all and end all. This was going to cure me. This was going to make me lose my weight and all would be well. I found ways around it. It didn't change my addiction. It didn't change what was going on in my head. So, yeah, I found ways around it, and I found myself gradually going up and up and up. And the only thing that has ever worked for me was coming into these rooms in 2018. And I was blown away when I first read about compulsive overeating and addiction, and it wasn't my fault. And I think it not being my fault was one of the greatest things I ever heard, because everything was my fault. World War II was my fault, and I wasn't even born. So, yeah, it's been an amazing, amazing journey. I'm very new to vision, and I have to say I'm absolutely loving it. So thank you, and I'll pass. And thank you for Stephanie and all the others who have given service. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Victoria F. from the UK. And we have time for one more share. Who would like to take a three-minute share?
Vanessa G. from New Mexico.
Okay, that was Vanessa G. from New Mexico. All right, go for it.
Okay. Just cut me off when I get done. My name is Vanessa G., and I'm recovered in New Mexico. And I've been listening to the discussions, actually at both meetings for the last two or three days, because I've been, you know, sick and home and in bed. And I think I've been getting a little impatient with the emphasis on these definitions, on these classifications, when I think real message behind all of that for us as compulsive overeaters is that anyone can be afflicted, you know, with disordered eating, with our issues and with this disease of the mind and the body and the soul. You know, I think the classifications possibly might have just been Dr. Silkworth kind of prepping his fellow people in the medical field And because later on, and I'm going to cheat a little bit, he talks about a seething cauldron of debate. And I'm guessing that's among doctors, mostly, and perhaps some religious people. In any case, I'm glad I know that what it means to be a real compulsive overeater. And I'm also very grateful to be among other people who have not only experienced the tortures of this disease, but have helped me find recovery and live in recovery themselves. It's a beautiful life. It's a beautiful way of living. Thank you guys so much.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. All right. We will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Sherry Z, will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, visionaries, and thank you, Stephanie, for your service. This is page 164. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in California, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Kim is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.